And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And those in the boat worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Let us kneel. We're going to pray. Father, we thank you for this example when Jesus got into the boat. Those in the boat worship him. Even this evening, Lord, we may not be in the boat while we are in this sanctuary, Lord. And we want to be like the disciples saying, worshiping you. Truly, Jesus, you are the Son of God. Amen. Today I'm going to share with you from Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 to 23. And it's good for us to continue to read into the Word of God. Thank you, Vivian, for reading the Word of God with clarity. But we're going to look verses by verses. I'm going to share these couple of verses from my heart, because this passage has been in my heart for quite some time. And I'm going to share with you, being a service pastor for this first Saturday, I'm going to share with you what it means to step out, to be courageous for 2019. Matthew chapter 14, verse 22 to 23. And immediately Jesus made the disciples to get into the boat and go before him onto the other side while he dismissed the crowds. Jesus is always very personal. Immediately he got the disciples. What happened before this chapter 14, verse 22? He fed the 5,000 men, besides women and children, from 5 loaves and 2 fishes. That was the account just before this incident in the boat. Jesus fed 5,000 men. And after feeding them, right, Jesus immediately made his disciples to get into the boat and to go before him. Jesus is going to that place. Go before him. The word here, go before him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. Not the disciples dismissed the crowds, but Jesus himself personally dismissed the crowds. So from that time till later in the evening, 3 a.m., Jesus dismissed the crowd. I believe that Jesus don't just, okay, go in peace. I believe after distributing the food to the 5,000 men and the woman, and then the disciples get away, and the disciples, you go to the other side, and Jesus personally ministered to everyone. And there were 12 baskets full. And that means during the period when the disciples were in the boat and Jesus was up in the mountain to pray, before he prayed, he dismissed the crowds personally. I think this is very meaningful for me, even as a pastor, to dismiss the crowds personally. So after feeding them, he did not just go in peace, but I believe during the period, there could be many, many needs the people come for. And that's why we always at the 4:30, after each sermon, we want to open the altar to be for people to be prayed for. And that's what Jesus is. And that's what I'm learning from him. Before dismiss the people, I believe that period, he ministered to every one of them. There's so many of the 5,000, and he ministered. And God, to the Son, Jesus, he's able to do it. So immediately, Jesus made disciples to go up and go before him while he dismissed the world, while he dismissed the crowds. It's very powerful for me. While he personally dismissed the crowds. And then after he had dismissed the crowds, after he had dismissed everyone, make sure that everyone, not physically provided, but spiritually, he went up to the mountain by himself to pray. And that's what we can learn from the Lord. Go to the Lord's mountain and pray. And when evening came, he was still praying there. That means from dismiss of the disciples, the people, until that time, he was praying. After ministering, he's not tired, but he continued to pray there alone. Went there to pray alone, but I missed out verse 44. But the boat, by this time, the boat was halfway through. It's about 5 to 6 kilometers away, and it was beaten by the wave. Now, in Mark's Gospel and John's Gospel, it recorded there was a big wave that came while he was praying and while the disciple was struggling with the oar. And in verse 25 says, in the fourth watch, which is about 3 to 6 a.m., this period, 3 to 4 a.m. Of the night, Jesus came to them. Knowing that they struggle, I believe they not only struggle, from the moment the disciples get into the boat and then till this time, they must have really sharing, very testifying, say that, hey, we are involved in feeding the 5,000, because Jesus gave the to the disciples the bread, and the bread was given to the people. So there must be exchange of words. They do not just get up the boat and then sleep. They must be excited. Hey, I'm involved. We are involved. Did you realize that Jesus fed 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fishes? And if the disciples were typical Singaporean, they were talking among themselves. You know that family, that boy? The bottomless pit keep on asking for the bread and for the wine. They must be very excited and keep on discussing in the boat, because it's not mentioned, but I like to imagine during that period in the boat until 3 a.m. they were talking and they were still in excitement. They have just seen the witness to miraculous feeding of 5,000, and they must have been talking and talking and talking until the time when the wave came up and they were struggling with the oar. They were really struggling. And then Jesus saw them from afar. You know how high the mountain is, and then from the mountain to the sea, it's about 5 to 6 kilometers away. And Jesus is able to see clearly. If you stand on the mountain, if you went to Jerusalem, Israel, you will see from there very clear. You can see. So Jesus saw the disciples struggling, and then he walked towards them with a purpose to comfort them. Jesus saw them, and they were discussing, and suddenly they were quiet down. The waves came up, they were frightened. Right? Only Matthew recorded that Peter walked on the water. Whereas Mark and John just said there were big wave. So there was this wave arising, and then the disciples were struggling with oaring the boat. And then Jesus walked to them for the purpose of comforting them. And verse 26, of all the things, they just witnessed the miraculous feeding. But when the disciples saw him, it could be quite far away. Right, they saw Jesus, like the video you watched, quite far, distant away. They saw him walking on the sea, not too sure, but they know that it's him. But they were wondering, we left Jesus on the mountain, and how come suddenly he appeared? They were terrified. That means really, really scared, terrified. It is a ghost, and they cried out in fear. This fear really instinct in them. They were, saw it, and they were very, very frightened. You know, the other time I was sharing that, I was just sharing with Colin just now, during my silent retreat at his retreat center, because I was the only candidate for the whole of the bungalow, and every night I have to lock up the door. And each night when I go into my cell to sleep, I would take my slippers, everything, make sure I go into the room and lock it. Why? Because I'm frightened when I open the door and see how come my slipper turned that way. Very negative. Pastor also can think of the worst. So I took the slipper and make sure that everything is in. And in the middle of the night, when I need to go to the washroom, I will make sure that I wear my slipper. I don't suddenly open, hey, how come my slipper is lost or somewhere, turn the other side. Then I realize that some spirit must have taken it. So in this day, the disciples saw Jesus and they saw that it was a ghost. They were frightened. They were absolutely... Hey guys, you don't laugh. I'm sure you experienced that too. So they say it's a ghost. They cried out in fear. You know, they're really frightened and fearful. They cried out in fear. And then, when they cried out in fear, and Jesus heard it, they cried out in fear, and Jesus spoke to them, said, take heart, do not be afraid. Take heart, do not be afraid. Jesus spoke that, and the wave is still going on, because it's only when Jesus went into the boat, the waves, the sea come. So there must be the rushing of the water, and very, very noisy, very, very... noisy. So they can hear the word of Jesus. It says, take heart, it is I, do not be afraid. So Jesus gave the comfort words in the midst of really raging sea, raging storm, very noisy. But Jesus spoke very good. The voice of Jesus must thunder even louder than the waves. Jesus says, take heart, it is I, do not be afraid. And then Peter answered, right? It was still far away. Peter wasn't too sure, but he had witnessed the feeding of the 5,000. Peter wasn't sure, and Peter is Peter. Peter answered him, said, Lord, he called, Lord, if it is you, he answered, if it is you, because it could be blurring, it is you, if it is you, command me, I will obey. In his heart, he said, you command me, I will obey. If you do not command me, I will not obey. And very strongly, he said, command me, very boldly, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. Right? The other disciples must have been really, this guy is really too much. But he was bold enough. Right? He said, Lord, if it is you, command me. If you command, I will obey. And when we tell the Lord, Lord, you speak to me, you show me your will, you show me something, it's equivalent to what Peter says, command me. And when the Lord show it to you, be bold like Peter, step out. Do not be frightened. He says, command me to come to you. And this conversation is just between Jesus and Peter in the midst of the wave. The noise of the wave was howling, the wind was howling, and how they communicated to each other. Listen. And Jesus said to him, come, come. So this time, the disciples, I don't know whether they heard it or not, it's just between two lovers, Peter and Jesus and Peter. They were talking to each other. Lord, you command me to come. And Jesus said, come. So these two talking, right? And then so Peter got out of the boat, literally got out of the boat, got his feet wet, and walked on the water and came to Jesus. If you see the video earlier, the disciples were astonished. He climbed out of the water and walked. Half of his foot is wet. He walked and came to Jesus, right? He was focusing, really focusing on Jesus alone. We know this story, and he's focusing on Jesus. But when he saw the wind, because the wind is still howling and the wave is still howling like this picture, the wave is howling, it's in the middle of the night. He was afraid, like many of us, when the Lord commands us, we ask for something and he asks us to do it, we go forth. But after a while, we tremble, we're scared, we are afraid. And then he beginning to sing. The moment that he sang, the video was very good. I chose this because he not suddenly singing, he's slowly going down. Slowly, gradually going down into the water. And what did Peter say? He cried out. In the midst, many times the psalmist, in the midst of trouble, he cried out, said, Lord, save me. Lord, save me. I need your help. So immediately when he go down, 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 he said, Lord, save me. And what did Jesus do? Jesus immediately, right, reached out his hand, took Peter, hold of him and saying to you, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? This is between Peter and Jesus, not with the rest of the disciples. Because the noise is still there. And verse 32 says, and when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. So I want you to imagine, both of them were talking. Now, when Jesus rebuked, or when Jesus reprimanded us, or when Jesus talked to us, it's not in the midst of other people. But personally, he rebuked us. Personally, he reprimanded us. Not in the public. In the sense, Peter and Jesus, Jesus said to him, Jesus did not scold him. He said, Peter, you of little faith. Peter, why did you doubt me? It is you who said, command me, and I command you to come. You of little, Peter, why you have so little faith? Why, Peter, why did you doubt my words to come? And these two, between that time, I don't know how long it is, Peter must have looked at Jesus, and Jesus must have looked at Peter. It's the same type of looking. When Peter denied Christ three times, when the cock crows, Jesus turned to Peter, and Peter turned to Jesus, the eye contact. I believe this period was the eye contact. Peter, why you have so little faith in me? Why did you doubt? And then Jesus leave him, look at the video, just now. Then they got into the boat. When they got into the boat, while the wave is still, but as the moment when Jesus and Peter stepped into the boat, the wind ceased. And those in the boat worshiped him, saying, truly you are the Son of God. What can we learn from this verse? And those in the boat worship him, saying, truly you are the Son of God. Do not wait until trouble time. Do not wait until something happens. Then we experience God's guidance, God's blessing, God's abundance, grace. Then we say, Lord Jesus, you are truly Son of God. And don't wait till such time. Daily in our life, proclaim that Jesus, truly you are the Son of God. Peter is bold enough. He has just witnessed a miraculous feeling. And he said, Lord, if it is you, command me. Command means I will obey. And Jesus said, come. And he came. But because of his way, because he looked at the way, he fell. But when they were in the boat, truly the Son of Man, you are God. And just what we did before the sermon starts, I ask each one of us to bow down, to kneel before the Lord, to say that truly Jesus, we may not in the boat, but we are in this sanctuary. And we want to proclaim this afternoon, this evening, truly we are the Son of God. I want to share with you is step out, be bold, be of good courage. 2018, a lot of things may happen in your family, in your job, whatever it is. But now you already step into 2019. Continue to step out. Be of good courage. The Lord is guiding you, leading you. Whether you like it or not, you are in 2019. Continue to live in 2019. Question is one to ask each one of us. I'm going to end very soon. How to step out? Whether you like it, you are in 2019, but how to step out in faith? How to step up? Pastor, you don't understand my situation. I'm in such a terrible mess. I lost my job, my career, my family, my marriage, my everything is just not right. How am I going to step? I'm frightened even to face. Yeah, some of us. Of course, some of us are really bold enough to say, hey, 2018 is good. 2019 is going to be better. So how to step out? I just want to share you a couple of steps, right? That are going to close this time. How to step out? 7 steps, just 7 simple steps. Firstly, you have to have faith. Not faith in faith, but faith in the Lord Jesus, that he who has seen you through 2017, 2016, 2017, 2018, he will continue. But you've got to face, like Peter said, Lord, you command me, I'll come. I believe in faith. My faith is focused on you. Faith is really forsaking all. I trust in him. Just believe that God is going to lead you. Your faith is in Christ, no one else. So in faith, first step. Secondly, must be in Christ, not on your own faith. Thirdly, in boldness, like Peter, very bold enough, he stepped into the water. The rest of the disciples, they are not bold enough. They want to, but they are not bold enough. But Peter is the one who said, let's go, let's chung, let's go for it. And he bold enough, step out of the boat. He really literally stepped out of the boat, and then he was able to walk. So in faith, step out this year. Continue to grow in faith. In Christ, step out. In boldness, in trusting him. That means you believe, trusting that his grace is sufficient for you. In focus on him alone. Whatever circumstances may arise, changing of job, whatever it is, put it aside. You got to go by faith. Letting go of your insecurity, letting go of everything, and let God take over. So in faith, step out. In Christ, in boldness, trust. Focus. Letting go whatever that's bothering you. Hey, 2018 is past. Look forward to 2019. Letting go and let God. I'm going to end with a couple of things. At this time, Jamie was sharing one of the resolutions is not to read the script, but he continued to read the script. Right? Some of us have written down a lot of resolution. The first few months of my resolution is to eat more and put on more weight, right? I need that. So what are some of the resolutions? Just a couple of things that you need to quit, and there are a couple of things that you must not let go, you must not quit. Okay, just share with you. Things you need to quit, just some list only, but you may have even more list. Things that you need to quit, how are you going to quit the things that you need to quit? Remember that God's strength is with you. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Things that you believe that you tried to quit last year, you just find difficult. But this year is different. This year you can do it like Peter. Step out. I can do all things that Christ who strengthens me. And you couldn't do it. Praying. So things you need to quit, remember the verse for you, Philippians 4:13. Things you need to quit, let me just share a couple of things. And one of the areas I believe many of us need to quit is all kinds of addictions, right? It could be addiction of pornography, it could be addiction of overeating, it could be addiction of anything. You know what your addiction is. One of the things to really to go into 2019 is to get rid of all kinds of addiction. Addiction, what is addiction? Something that you cannot control. In the beginning, it was okay. You just try a couple of times, okay. But once it becomes a habit and once it can become, you cannot control it, then that is addiction. So whatever it is, you know and the Lord knows. Secondly, all bitterness, whatever happens, 2018, all bitterness, because bitterness will cram you down. You keep on remembering the instance. I was sharing with my Hokkien people, there's a couple who got married some 30 years ago, and on the day of a wedding, the groom's brother is supposed to bring the flower from Malaysia to Singapore. He somehow or other left it somewhere. And that day, the bride goes without flower, most important flower. And she remembered that for 30 years, the bitterness was really in her. And each time when you see the husband, the brother-in-law, he will remember that day, you did not bring the flower. 30 years, still hold on to it. So let go. One of the things you need to quit, addiction, all bitterness. And the other one is very familiar to all kinds of unforgiveness. Be it between spouse, between siblings, between friends, between colleagues, between members, and between the pastor and members and pastor. Let go. If I offended you, let go. I need to carry on. Right? You need to carry on. Let put all bitterness, unforgiveness, put it aside. All malicious talk, speech. Right? Ephesians tells us, do not let unwholesome words come from your mouth, but that which is edifying. So malicious speech in your mind, gossip, your tongue, whatever it is, get rid of it. All right? These are some of the things I believe I also want to get rid of it. You may have a longer list. Right? Pastor have shorter list. No, mine is even longer. All procrastination. I want to do this maybe later. I want to start the Bible study. I want to start prayer with my wife. I want to do this later, later. I got no time later. Don't give up all. I mean, get rid of, you need to get rid of all procrastination. Just do it. You need to do it means you need to do it. If you don't do it, you will never, never do it. All things that are unnecessary, please get rid of it. Only the things that is necessary, do it. Right? You know, our staff meeting, every time our staff meeting, we try to read the book, Rick Warren book, The Purpose-Driven Church, and we started in many months, but we procrastinate, not because of no time. So each time, until now, we still have not finished the book. And last week, we're supposed to finish the 5 chapters, one of the chapters, and we do not have time. We procrastinate it, and that's my fault because a lot of meeting, a lot talking a lot. So things are unnecessary, give up. All self-doubt. Self-doubt or self-doubting of people. Get rid of it. And doubting God. All sorts of doubting God. Put it aside. You need to quit this. I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. You may have less. But whatever it is, if the Lord show it to you, I can do all things in Christ. You need to quit. Need to quit. Things you must not quit. Never, never give up. And you say, Lord, how am I going to do this? 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. God say, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in your weakness. You must not quit. You must rely on my grace. It's really sufficient for you. My power is made perfect. And what are the things that you must never, never quit? The first one you never quit is you must continue to love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, even greater love for him. Right? You must not quit loving God. Easier said than done. But God says, my grace is sufficient. I'll supply you with the grace to love me more. Secondly, your praise and worship, whether it be in your CG, whether in your own time, whether coming together, you must never say, oh, yeah, one Saturday is okay. Never mind. Never mind. Pastor don't know. Pastor will know because your regular seat is empty. I know that you are missing, right? I know where Desmond's family is sitting. I know whoever's sitting family, I know. So your praise and worship is important to God. It helps you to grow. Your discipline of fasting and prayer. Fasting and prayer is part of the Christian life. As I shared many times, Jesus did not say if you pray or if you fast. Jesus said when you fast, when you pray, do this, do this, do this. So when does Jesus expect us? If you have fasted and you have prayed, continue once a month, once a week, whatever it is, fast and pray. Your giving to God, continue to do that. God will supply all your need. Do not fear. Your daily quiet time with God is important. Be in the morning, be in the afternoon, be in the night. Quiet time, that means reading of the Word of God. Really, meditating upon the Word of God. And the other one is important. More than being having quiet time with God, your solitude with God at His mountain. Wherever that mountain is, or wherever the corner is, your solitude time with Him. I was just sharing with someone this afternoon. Really, when you share time with Him, He awaits for you. Right, He awaits for you. Your solid time with God in that corner, in that mountain, His mountain, you must not quit. And I pray that you will not quit. And then finally, your faith in God. Be bold to step out like Peter. In closing, I want to share this verse with you. Right, Isaiah 49, verse 43. This is a promise of God that everything the enemy is trying to do, they will be defeated. Kings shall be your foster fathers, and their queens your nursing mothers. With their faces to the ground, they shall bow down to you and lick the dust of your feet. Then you will know that I am the Lord. Those who wait for me shall never put to shame. Continue this year to wait for the Lord. And closing, finally closing, I want to share this, the words of this song. I find this song very meaningful. It helps me. What faith in God can do to each one of us. You know, everybody falls. Sometimes we fall down flat. Even the pastor will fall flat on his face. Everybody falls sometimes. We've got to find the strength to rise from the ashes and make a new beginning. Everyone can feel the ache when you think it's more than you can take. But know this, you are stronger, stronger than you know. Don't give up now. The sun will soon be shining. You got to face the clouds to find the silver lining. I've seen dreams that move the mountains. Hope that doesn't ever end, even when the sky is falling. I've seen miracles just happen. Silent prayers get answered. Broken hearts become brand new. That's what faith in God can do. It doesn't matter what you have heard about impossible. Look, Father, if Pastor is impossible, it doesn't matter what you have heard. Impossible is not a word. It's just a reason for someone not to try. Everybody's scared to death when they decided to take the step out on the water. But guys, it will be all right. Going to a new career, not too sure. Going to a new relationship, you're not too sure. You're scared to step out. But step out onto the water. It will be all right because Jesus is there to lead you. Life is so much more than what your eyes are seeing. You'll find your way if you keep believing right in God. Overcome the odds, you don't have the chance. When the world says you can't, faith in God tell you, you can. Truly, God is able. Now listen to this video song and I'll end with this song. What faith can do.
Everybody falls sometimes. Gotta find the strength to rise from the ashes and make a new beginning. Anyone can feel the ache. You think it's more than you can take, but you're stronger, stronger than you know. Don't you give up now. The sun will soon be shining. You gotta face the clouds to find the silver lining. I've seen dreams that move the mountains. Hope that doesn't ever end, even when the sky is falling. I've seen miracles just happen. Silent prayers get answered. Broken hearts become brand new. That's what faith can do. Oh.
knows not a word. It's just a reason for someone not to try. Everybody's scared to death when they decide to take that step out on the water.
Remain seated where you are. I just want to pray for each one of us beginning of this year. And after this time of prayer, we're going to consecrate the City Kids teachers for their task ahead of them. So with all head bowed, all eyes closed, can I ask you to lift up your hands to the Lord, says, Lord, here am I. This is the year that you have made for me. Lord, I want to be bold to trust in you for my career, for my family, for every areas of my life. I want to be like Peter, Lord, telling you, Lord, if it is you, command me. And with your grace and strength, I will do it, Lord.